Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you once again, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thank God, well, the world changes all around us and people change, but Jesus never changes. He is someone that we can depend on, we can rely on, our wonderful Lord and Savior. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so his words are the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's one of the reasons we have this program, because God's word does not change. Now, people will, the Bible says there's many that corrupt the word of God, and so there's many corruptions out there. And so we want to point this out, and we want to say that God's word remains the same. And we talked last week, and we were talking particularly about the Moody Bible Institute. Now, I want to say this. I never feel like it is my responsibility and job to be critiquing preachers or ministries or schools, but recently on the Moody radio station, they have been attacking the Authorized King James Bible, correcting it, and actually attacking it as the authority. And of course, I believe that they really don't have an authority except their own opinions when they attack that particular Bible. And but first of all, I'm so happy to have Pastor Al Davis, pastor of Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, as a co-sponsor and co-host of this program. And so I'm going to ask him to read a few verses of Scripture to start out with, to talk about what God says about this subject of the Word of God, because the Bible has much to say on this subject. And first of all, Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 through 19, and then 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. If you can read those passages.
All right, and that was Revelation.
Let's see, that would be Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19.
All right, let me turn over there, and while you're getting your Bibles as well, Revelation chapter 22, just a reminder, too, that you can find past programs online at whereisgodsword.com, and a little bit more about Bruce there. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 18, the Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book."
Now, this is a very serious statement. The Lord said he'll add the plagues and take away his part in the book of life. Because if you add or you take away, and yet the modern versions add words and they take away words, and there's thousands of changes, take away in fact whole verses, and sometimes two or three verses, you know, in a particular place. And so it's a very, very serious thing. Now, many people don't see this as serious, but if you read the Bible, God warns about this in a number of passages in the Old and New Testament about tampering with his words. And that is what is going on today. Now, if you will read the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 21.
All right, here in 2 Peter chapter, you said chapter 1?
I believe that's it.
And the wrong page here. And verse number 15, the Bible says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
And you know, one of the things I want to point out in that passage is the fact that God says here that his word is more sure than seeing Christ in all of his glory. And Peter says, we saw Christ in all of his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, we heard the voice of God the Father out of heaven. But he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy in the Scripture. And yet in our day, with these translations coming out that disagree with each other with thousands of words, it has destroyed the foundation, and it has pulled the rug out from Christians. And so I want to start out, because we're talking about Moody Bible Institute in particular, because they're on the radio and they're actually attacking the King James Bible. I just heard it last week again. And on a constant basis, and even in what they teach. And so, but actually, they're not very much different than many other Bible schools and seminaries. And I want to talk to you today about what is being taught and what is wrong with what is being taught today from a scriptural point of view. Now, when Moody Bible Institute was set up, the Bible corruptors and Bible correctors were around at that time. And you can see by reading the writings of Moody and Spurgeon and others. And Moody, in attacking people that corrected the King James Bible, or would say things like "a better reading is," or "the Greek says," or "this is an unfortunate translation." And Moody, talking about this, he told this story. And he said that a young man came to his preacher, and his preacher asked him to see his Bible. And the young man said, "No, sir." He says, "You have taken out the verses you didn't think were there, and the interpolations, which you thought were interpolations, and all of these different things that were changed." And he says, "All I have left is the Holy Bible that I can count on, and you're not going to get that." That was the story that Moody told, criticizing people that corrected and translated. So if Moody was alive today and would listen to the Moody station, he would not be happy. Now, it's interesting they continue to use his name when they do exactly what he was against. And I say this, this program is not critiquing everybody else that's out there, and I don't really like doing that. But when they are attacking the authorized Bible, then I'm going to say something. And what they're doing and what they're teaching is widely taught. They're not the only ones that are doing it. Now, I want to, first of all, one of the ways, as we said, they attack it, they say, well, the Greek says. And when they say the Greek says, they don't mention the fact that every translation has a different Greek text underneath it. And that's well known to people that study textual history. And so not only does it have a different Greek text, the lexicons, which are the Greek-English dictionaries or the Hebrew-English dictionaries, these also, the meanings have been changed. We mentioned in some of the other programs, Strong's Concordance is fine for looking things up. You cannot trust his dictionary and definitions of words. Now, if you want to find out the meaning of a definition of a word, one of the ways is you can use his concordance to check how that word is used in many other places. But to go by his definitions is wrong. He was with a group of modernists that put out the American Standard Version. And when the blind man was, Jesus gave him back his sight, he worshiped Jesus. And just in case they got the wrong idea from that, meaning that if you worship Jesus, that means he's God and Jesus accepted worship, they put a little footnote there. And this is the crowd that Strong was with. It says, "This is the worship given to the creature and not the creator." Isn't that something? That's a footnote in the American Standard Version, which they said was the most accurate, which it certainly was not. It was based on a corrupt text. Now, what we call flapdoodleism, that is, a person is correct in the Bible, and it's a lot of it is ego. And sometimes they do correct it with Kenneth Wiest, and Kenneth Wiest used corrupt lexicons from previous centuries when he put out some of the things that he put out. And a lot of them do. So the King James translators is the best group of translators as far as their knowledge of language that ever came together. And furthermore, they had committees, and they had all these committees, and each committee went over every single word 16 times. And then many people get on the radio, and sometimes their television, they'll say, the Bible is true and every word is true. And then they do what is called an oxymoron. They directly, they'll say, this is an unfortunate translation. And they never even attempt to prove it. That's interesting. If they say it's unfortunate, why don't they tell it what Greek text they're using and what lexicon they're using to correct it with? But they just say it dogmatically. You know, they don't even tell us the Greek word. Sometimes they do. But basically, it's just an ego trip. And the Bible says, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, builds himself up, you know, and so they're just showing off. That's what they're doing when they do that. Now, I want to give a little bit of history of the Bible at Moody Bible Institute, just to pick out some important things. First of all, D.L. Moody at that time, because this kind of stuff was going on in his day, if you read Moody and Spurgeon and some of the other ones, and so they, at that time, they got rid of teaching Greek in many of the fundamental schools and just taught the English Bible, referring to the King James Bible. And Moody said, for spiritual unity, accept the English Bible as it is, referring to the King James Bible. And of course, when you have Bible versions that disagree, it causes disunity. And, you know, the Bible says this. God says, I beg you, he says, I beseech you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. So it doesn't mean that we all have different Bibles with different words that have different meanings. And the words of these new translations are not synonymous, and they haven't found better manuscripts and all that kind of nonsense that they talk about all the time, and we'll be talking about this. Now, I attended Moody. And when I attended there, there was a guy in charge of the satellite schools. I went to one of the satellite schools, and there's the guy that was in charge of it at that time, executive vice president in charge of satellite schools. His name was Dr. Alfred Martin, and he actually taught classes that I had, and he wrote a strong book defending the King James. Now, some of these guys today that are correcting the King James, I would suggest they start off by reading Alfred Martin's book, since he was a professor and in charge, executive vice president at that time. Now, another person we should refer to here is Dr. Logsdon. Now, Dr. Logsdon was the pastor of Moody Church, and so he was one of them that helped to pick people to put together the New American Standard Version of the Bible, and I call it the standard perversion of the Scripture. And so after the thing was put together, one of his friends pointed out all of the inconsistencies and all the false translations that were made at that time, because Logsdon helped to pick it. And he went to the man that was responsible for actually publishing it, and Logsdon said, after looking at the changes that have been made, and there's many of them, he said to him, he said, I'm afraid we're in big trouble with God. And he said, I'd like to have a conference with you about this. Well, the man said, I'm going to go to on my honeymoon, but when I come back, he says, we'll talk about it. Well, when he didn't come back alive. He came back in a box, and they had his funeral when he came back from his honeymoon. And I believe, according to Scripture, I believe God killed the guy. And after that, Pastor Logsdon, pastor of Moody Church and a well-known Bible teacher, campaigned against the modern versions. The rest of his life wrote books on it. And I believe if you look his name up on the internet, you can still see what he said about the modern perversions of the scripture. And so we get to down to the time on the radio. Now, probably Logsdon didn't know it at that time, but I found out something else, and this is what got me interested in this subject, because when I was in college, we studied Greek, and of course, we used Nestle's Greek text, the 23rd edition, which was the basis of the New American Standard Version. And one day I was reading the New ASV, and they never told us anything about where the text had come from, the Nestle's Greek text. And so I was reading it one day just casually, and I read there in Luke 2:33 where it called Joseph Jesus' father. And yet, right away, I thought about how Mary called Joseph Jesus' father to cover up in front of the scribes in the temple when Jesus was debating with. And Jesus corrected her in front of the doctors of the law and said, I must be about my father's business. And Jesus never called Joseph his father. And so I thought, what is this? And I was really shocked that day. And this is why we have the program today, because I thought, I'm going to investigate this. Now, if you're simple, you just say, well, all my friends believe this, my pastor believes this, they teach it on Moody Station, must be okay. Well, I just thought, I was shocked. And I thought, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. So I got my Greek New Testament out. It said in there, the Nestle's 23rd edition, his pater and his mater, you know, that's father and mother, calling Joseph Jesus' father. So I thought, where in the world did this text come from? The King James reads Joseph and his mother. And I thought, I'm going to find this out. Now, I had a hard time finding it. But then I read two of the leading writers on textual criticism. One was Ira Price from the University of Chicago. I read their book, his book. And then the other one was Kenyon from England. These are leading world-renowned writers on textual history. And they said that Nestle's Greek text originally came from the Jesuits, an organization set up to overthrow the Protestant Reformation. And they had put this Nestle's Greek text out. Well, some years passed before I found more about it, and actually I found out that the 23rd edition of Nestle's Greek text was produced by no other than Dr. Carlos Maria Martini, Archbishop of Milan, a priest of Rome, a high priest of the Roman Catholic Church, produced a text that was used in every fundamental school in the country, probably before that time. And they use these texts like that to correct the King James Bible. So that's why we're having this program. Now, I want to talk about the texts, some of the corrupt texts that they're using when they say a better reading is, and this is an unfortunate translation. Now, first of all, they're using what is called the Alexandrian text. I talked to a guy from Warren Beale Seminary, and we were just having a discussion. He says, well, we all ought to get together. I said, yeah, that'd be a good idea. I said, if we could all go by the Bible, we could get together. And then he says, well, he says, you know, the Bible's been translated many different times in different ways and so on, you know. And I said, well, I trust my King James Bible. And then he says, we use the Alexandrian text. Well, that's the text Borromeo Seminary and Moody Bible Institute have an agreement there. Man, aren't we having an ecumenical movement in these days, see? And so where does the Alexandrian text come from? And that's the reason for these modern corruptions. They come from Alexandria, and they come from a different text than the King James. Now, the Alexandrian text came from an individual named Origen, who lived 185 to 254. And Origen was a semi-Gnostic and also known as a Platonist. And so in order to make the Bible acceptable to the philosophers in Alexandria, Egypt, he revised the New Testament text. And that's what you're getting today in the modern versions, his revision. Now, the Greek professors say, well, the New Testament is written in Koine Greek. Well, the Alexandrian text is not Koine Greek. It's classical Greek, so it's not even what the Greek texts usually teach and say. So, we're talking about the Alexandrian text, and so that's the text that they use to correct the Bible. Now, the King James is based on the Antiochian text, and the Antioch was the missionary church, and the Koine Greek comes from the is called the Antiochian text, but it's made up of a number of translations, the Antiochian text. It's also called the Kappa text, Koine Greek text, or the Byzantine text. And all of these together are called the received text. And the Antiochian or the Syriac Peshitta bears witness to the King James. The Koine Greek bears witness to it. The Old Latin text that came out long before the Vulgate bears witness to the received text. And the King James translators had these ancient translations, today there's Bibles that are in Europe all over the world that have Bibles that back up the readings in the King James text. Now, the Alexandrian text, we find out that the Alexandria was the home of mixed up Bible scholars like Apollos. He had to be, he taught the Word of God, but he was confused individual. And the Bible makes a point of this. At Stephen's trial, it was the Alexandrians that tried him and led to his stoning. And then God warns against Egypt and said, don't go down into Egypt. So God's talking about this. Now, another thing that Moody is teaching is deism. And they would deny that. But when it comes to the Bible, they're teaching this as well as many evangelicals. And what they teach is what many evangelicals teach. What do I mean by deism? They will make a statement. We are reverent biblicists with unquestioned loyalty to the originals, and they'll talk about standing on the originals. Well, nobody has the originals today, and furthermore, if you read what they say, they don't even know what the originals say. And so they talk about the original languages and the originals, and they don't know what they say. So when they correct the King James Bible, they're correcting it with something out of their own opinions that they have. And so they have these corrupt texts. Now, the corrupt text is based on a text by two guys called Westcott and Hort, who were evolutionists and also got a blessing in praying in front of an idol that when they prayed. And they have that in their writings and their letters. And so their thinking is rationalistic. Rather than looking at the Bible for the answer to the true text, they invaded on the base it on their own reasonings, and they reasoned that the Bible, the true text, was not the right text. The text that was behind the King James Bible in the Greek and the Hebrew, and so they reasoned. Now, the biblical text, what is it? It's the Antiochian text out of Antioch. That's the missionary church, and so it is based on the priesthood of believers. And in the Old Testament, they had a special priest class to protect the Bible. But today, the Bible says we are a kingdom of priests. And the people that read the Bible, by the large majority, the ones that read it every day, continue to read the King James, been here for 400 years. But not only that, the King James is not only 400 years old, for the text goes right back to the apostles, and you can trace it to the apostles. And the true churches have always used this text. The Bible says that thou mightest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the true churches, the Bible-believing churches that ended up in independent Baptist churches and other groups that's stuck with the Bible have had this text down through the ages, and you can trace it right back to the apostles. And so God said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. And God said that the word of God abideth with you forever. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And the Bible says that the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. It's something we have today, and we can base our salvation on it. Jesus said, He died on the cross, paid for our sins. He said, Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.